to speak today. I've been reading a book by this guy called Kenneth Hagin, if you ever come across, a speaker from America. So his book title itself is What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. I've been reading this book, if you want to read. Today, so I give an introduction and also a little bit about what he is discussing in this book. That's why I want to make sure that I speak of his name. What to do when faith seems weak and victory lost? Let me explain a little bit more. In our day-to-day life, we are Christians, we work, we pray, and we seek God, we give to God, we give our tithe, we give as much as we can, and we are regular in the service, and we are very good Christians. We follow all the things that we know is Christian thing, and then we try to avoid sin, we try to be that holy particular person, we try to do good to others, we try to be good people. Yes, number of times you face your failing, number of times you think, actually, my faith seems to be that strong. Actually, what am I doing? You know, you have 1,000 questions. Have you ever experienced those kind of moments? I experience every day. And I think myself, well, I'm doing ministry, I'm serving you, Lord, I'm working for you, I'm doing blah, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm really keeping myself busy. But yet, you know, I don't get what I want. I don't receive things that I expected from you. I don't understand why things are not moving. I don't really understand why I'm sometimes like a failure. Whereas, look at others where they don't even work like me. They don't even have the commitment that I have commitment. Then they're flourishing. They're prospering. They're really good. They seem to be doing well in their life. But what happened to me? So if you are that kind of person, today is the sermon is for all of us. If you have gone through. What to do? It seems victory is other side of the world, far away. You try and try and try to get it, you never get it. Students who come here, they always share testimonies. I try to do, I'm still failing because I can't understand what the English teachers saying, professor saying. Some people say, I did all my best, still they failed me. And some people go and approach them again, they appeal. No, I've done my best, still you're failing me. You're telling me about plagiarism. I've never copied from anyone else, but you blaming me of plagiarism. What's going on? They say, please, pastor, pray for me. Pray for me because plagiarism is on my assignment. He seems to think, I do the way I want, but we fail. We got to find the reason. In this book, this man discusses, what to do? If you put the next slide, oh, is it with me? Next slide, it says, recognize the source. Recognize the source. If there is anything that is not in the right place in our life, the first thing we got to find out is, where did it start? Whether it is sickness, whether it is spiritual trouble, whether it is physical trouble, mentally you are not doing well, you are really getting angry, you're in your home, you want to run away, you want to have a peaceful life, you don't want to be connected to anyone else. Now, I want my peace. I want these things to be done. I want to go to the particular place. But still, it seems to me I'm not able to go there. Who is hindering you? Some people now blame others. Some people blame husband. Some people blame wife. All family. One time, this book, he writes a story. A pastor who raised so much money and bought a big tent where he can accommodate 20,000 people in the tent so that he can have loads and loads of people coming in. He can have open air meetings and meetings in the tent. So he bought this tent. He invested so much money in it. And you know, the tornadoes. One of the tornadoes come and hit the tent and took the whole tent off, and the tent was ripped off, and all the money is gone. So, the question is this: why did God do this? He should know that it's God's work, it's His ministry, we're actually doing His work. Why would He do these things? Maybe God allowed us to learn a lesson. Those are the words people use. Maybe God allowed us to buy a better tent. So all these sort of things. But what he discusses here in this book is this. You know, you got to recognize the source. Why did that happen? Why did you get through the situation that you didn't want to go through? The source is definitely not God. God is not God who's going to blow away your tent. God is not intending to demolish your house. God is not intending to come and destroy our lives. He's a God who builds us. He gives us life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4, it says, God of this world have blinded them, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. I'm reading the old version, which is not good. Okay. God of this world blinded lots of people so that God's light would not shine upon us, so that you don't understand anything, our eyes can be blinded. I don't know whether you believe it or not. We can be blinded. When Jesus was walking on this Emmaus road, where two people were walking together with Jesus, they couldn't recognize Jesus. Their eyes were blinded. There are so many references in the Bible. People's eyes were blinded when somebody prayed for them. Their eyes are open and they've seen miraculous things. This guy called Gehazi, a servant of this prophet Elisha, was sitting there. He was crying out, "Master, Master, we were surrounded by all these people with horses. They're going to take over." And he says, the master Elisha prays, "Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes, that he can see." Then God opens his eyes. What did he see? He saw the chariots of fire. Don't you know this story? It seems puzzled. So, we think God is doing all these things. We need to understand God never destroys our lives. God's intention is not that. We need to understand anything that is not right, anything that is not truth, anything that is destroying, that should come from the devil itself. So many places. And apologies. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put the whole armor of God, because it is the devil that destroys lives of people. We got to understand, recognize the source. Where is it coming from? Is it because of me? Mark chapter 3, verses 24, it says like this. If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, the house could not stand. We are in the kingdom of God. We meant to see God as our Father, our source of our life. But if you think God himself is destroying, God is making this thing, God is allowing this suffering, that suffering, we're actually standing against our own family, our own father, our own people, our own kingdom. That's what devil wants. Devil wants you to think that God is doing all sorts of things. Whereas devil hides behind. John chapter 10, verses 10. The thief comes not for, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus says, I won't destroy, I've come to give you life. Whereas we think, you know, God, why are you doing these things? Why, God, why are you allowing me these things? Why, God, what's happening in my life? Why don't you say it? Why don't you make it right? Why don't you make it correct? Because we think God is the one who is doing all these things. If you want to go through, Jesus always spoke the words of life. You read the life of Jesus Christ, he never think, well, I'm going to destroy you because you did something wrong. No. Have you ever seen in the Bible? He was angry at times, but he was always compassionate. He was thinking everybody should understand that I have come to this world to give you life. But the thief is not here to give you life. Thief is to destroy you. Thief is there. Understand what the devil thinking. Luke chapter 4, talks to Jesus. And the devil taking him up unto high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdom of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will give is. I will give you anything, only if you bow down. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to bow down. Satan, get away from me. Jesus talks about the passages where it says, you should worship the Lord your God with all your heart. And Jesus indirectly telling, you know, I'm the Son of God. I'm here, standing here. You tried to tempt me. What Jesus was doing, he was standing his ground. That's what we are meant to do. Stand your ground. If you're a Christian, stand as Christian. If you're a believer, believing whatever God says to you, stand there. Whatever the devil comes and tells you this and that and discourage you and tells you you're not going to get out of this sickness and tells you you're not going to get out of these troubles and problems, this is the life you have to get, you have to live with this, and you are not going to go and have some love. The devil tells you what you got to do. Stand our ground and say, no, you're wrong. Be strong and courageous. That's what Paul says. Be strong and courageous. Paul always says, rejoice in the Lord. Again I say, rejoice in the Lord. when you are not strong, devil says, well, he's not strong. Do you know, when people are sick, we go to doctors and we get treated, that's good, fine. In my experience, so many people come with different sickness, and the medicine can treat those sicknesses. And then it occurring again, coming back. You never seems to get over that kind of problems. One of the reasons is this: Satan tried to find where the weakness is in your body. That's why it happens. If you have a kidney disease, that's where Satan is targeting. It makes it more worse. If you have memory loss or you have problem with forgetting, that's where Satan try and come back again and say it makes it more worse. And the doctor says, well, this is how it is. It's getting worse day by day. You need to look after yourself. It's good to have the medicine. At the same time, you have two types of attacks. One is physical, another one is spiritual. They will try to find where your weakness is in the body, physical weakness. That's where devil would hit it. I have seen and heard many demons speaking to me and says, this guy has this problem, so I'm on top of it, I'm doubling it. Literally. And the demon leaves the person, the problem's still there, it's reduced almost 50%. And they take medicine, it's gone. We need to understand, it is not God who destroys. It's not God who makes our life critical, problematic. It's the devil, it's the source. Sometimes it may not be the devil, it would be us ourselves, our thoughts, our thinking, our behaviors, what we do. The decisions we make will determine what you will become tomorrow, what kind of pain you go through tomorrow. Doctor says, if you keep eating carbohydrates, you'll have obesity, you'll have diabetes, you'll have things that you do today will affect tomorrow. Spiritually, things that you do, spiritual thing, the way we think, all those things will affect our tomorrow's spiritual life too. So we need to have a spiritual discipline. That's been the topic last 3-4 weeks. Pastor Craig was talking. You can have relationship with God in your daily life, not just when we come to church. When you get up, you have a relationship with God. Somebody was writing a book and saying, he gets up early in the morning and says, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what he says. He gets up with praising God. What do we do, when we get up? And these days, I spend a lot of time with young people, the university students. I ask them, what do you do when you get up? They say, well, I look for my mobile phone. And then what do you do after you say, check, see the mobile? Some people say, I check WhatsApp messages. Some people say, I go through some reels so that I can wake up fully, half sleep. Reels, what do you say? Reels, lots of fun, jokes. People are creating some reels. What are the reels that they're creating? They're just walking on the road. They take a video and you get up and you watch 10 minutes. Hey, what's that? They're just walking, that's it. Nothing else. They put a music behind. It's a reel. And some people, Benson does some videos. He was just yesterday, he asked me, Daddy, can you record it? Okay, what do you think? We were on the football ground. He was just kicking the football and he says, it has to be 9 seconds. Why are you doing? He said, video slow motion. So in 9 seconds, slow motion, he kicks the ball and ball goes slowly up. And then if we upload it onto TikTok or Facebook, whatever, 20,000 views. What did he do? He just kicked the ball. Live with God. These are the things that comes up just to waste our time. Of course, there are good reasons. You can learn something. But in our life, if you keep doing things that is not related to God, what's the use of it? And if we ask a question, would you read the Bible verse as soon as you get up? No. I have to have breakfast, and then maybe I have a Bible lecture, maybe I'll read it. Sometimes I forget. That's what people say. Bible says, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God only. We need to be listening to God's word. That's what Craig was mentioning the other day. If you can't read the Bible, you have the audio Bible. Go to Bible app and press that audio, and it will read it for you. And you listen and listen and listen. By hearing the word of God, your faith grows and grows and grows. And again, you hear the word of God, your faith more and more grows every day. Bible says, faith, without faith, you cannot please God. Next one, be sure the promises of God cover the things you ask for. God's promises. When we go through troubles, we forget God's promise. Didn't we? A girl who comes to our church in the afternoon, she got a promise. I will heal you. She said, I don't have any sickness. What is this all about? I'm a young girl, 25. And God says, I will heal you. And then she was doubting. And then all of a sudden, recently, she became sick. And she was cooking something, and the oil spilt on her face, hands, all over. And she realized, God said, I will heal you. So she went back to that promise, and she knelt down and prayed, Lord, this is all burning, it's terrible. Although, she called the ambulance and they did come. But she did, and she prayed a prayer, Lord, these guys were thrown into the furnace of fire. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, but nothing happened to them. I want to see the same thing to me. I don't want this feeling. And she testified, as soon as she prayed, she didn't have the burning feeling at all. And the ambulance came in and they checked. They said, if you don't have pain, there's nothing we can do. You stay there and you can apply an ointment. That's all we can do. It's okay. And they're all healed so quickly. The faith, it is, I was shocked. How on earth can you pray that prayer? If you have a burn, that you meant to have that pain until at least some time. But she said, all gone. And she went back to the kitchen again and she cooked something and ate it because no pain. So whatever it is, what is your promise that God has given to you? Why did God give you that promise? Did you forget the promise? When things are going wrong and we are only looking out for the remedies, answers, where to go, how to find a way out of this situation. But what we're talking today is go back to your promise and ask the Lord and say, Lord, you have given me this promise, and where is that promise coming from? Today, I want it to be fulfilled. I want to see that promise is coming into my way. I want to stand on the promises. We got to understand, Lord, the promises you have given me is not in vain. They are not going to go away. Someday, somehow, the promises will come. Abraham was promised that he will have a child. And they waited and waited and waited, waited in faith. And they did get a child in their old age. When biologically impossible times, it is not possible. And God's promise came through because it was God who spoke that word. If God speaks the word, you know, the whole world can be formed. If God says there shall be light, there was light. If God says there will not be any death, there will not be any deaths in our lives. If God says there is no sickness, that's it. The sickness will not be there. Because it is God who spoke. It has nothing to do with naturality. If we think naturally it is impossible, then with God, whatever you think is possible. That's what Bible says. That's what happened to Abraham. You know, when they think they're old, we can't have child. You know, that's what God came in and said, oh, I can do anything. Our foundation of faith should not be shaken because of what is happening in our lives. Many times my faith has been shaken. Why God? Why is these things happening? In 2004, my mother passed away. I was in a Bible school at the time in Pune, in India. So we come from South India. It's a day journey, which means 24 hours journey by train. I was in a Bible school, and I was going to take this team on outreach. Thankfully, we were going to take the outreach to our own hometown. So all these seven team members from different nationalities are there. They were about to travel next day, so I had to travel a day before. So I went home. And my background is this. My father is a committed missionary or a pastor, traveled from different place to this particular village where there was no road. He had to walk miles and miles to reach to this village, and then he had to share the good news. Opposition, so many people tried to, you know, beat him up and try to destroy the church. Things happened over the time. He still stood there, and my mother was a very prayerful lady. All that she knew was to get up every day morning, you know, serve children, husband, and the church. The day finishes. All she does is to serve in the church. You sweep, mop, clean the church, not like we come and sit. So she's the one who does everything. And people come for prayer, she pray for them when pastor is not available. And she fasts for people. She delivers lots of evil spirits, demons, and prays. And as she counsels, oh, whatnot. And she didn't even travel long distance. I don't think she even traveled more than 500 miles away from the place in her life. So she dies because of the diabetes, not treated well, and then kidneys got spoiled, and then she lost her life. Now the question, everybody comes down and say, these guys are serving God, they're pastors, they're doing this and this, and they prayed for so many healings, so many people got healed. Why not his own wife? You know, she's dying with the sickness. God did not heal her. And I had questioned, why God, why didn't you heal her? Because she's done nothing wrong in your sight. She did whatever she can. But why are these things happening? These are the questions that were, for us, very important for God. He says, this is the way it is. We are human beings. Our lifespan is, let's say, 100 or 120. Now, if you eat proper food, if you don't eat from nonsense, then you might live a little bit longer, exercise, whatever. But there is an end. We are not permanent living people. There is an end. For us, it hurts. But for God, this is the way it is. What counts is, I didn't ask you to have that kind of diseases. It's not something put in your body. The way you live, the way the lifestyle we have the consequences. Why blaming God? If you can, change the lifestyle. Our actions decides where we're going. We need to walk in the light, whatever is happening. That's the beauty of Christianity, is this. Why we come to Jesus, why we accept Jesus. Jesus says, I give you eternal life. While you are here, you are a different person. Even after this life, you get eternal life. You get to live with God, whereas no other religions are offering you that kind of eternal life. They will offer you, if you are a good person, you have a good life, you might go to heaven. If you're not a good person, you'll be born as a dog or a cat, you'll be born as a different person. These are the things they will teach us, through their teachers. But Jesus is not saying that. Jesus says, you know, I am the light, I am the way. You know, if you believe me, if you trust in me, understand, you will have the better life on the earth and also off the earth. We have hope either way. We need to understand. We need to confess. I am a believer. I am a not doubter. I do have faith. My faith works. You know, my faith, my prayers do work. My faith in God is in God. No other gods. My faith is in Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Word of God. Therefore, I believe God. God works in me. This is what we need to understand. We need to be sure we have the promises. Third one, we need to be sure that we don't live in the sin. People say, we live in the sin, but we still want God to do all kinds of things because God loves sinners. So, are we a sinner and you keep loving me? It doesn't work. Romans, it says, shall we then stay in the sin for a long time because the grace is upon us? Romans, Paul talks, no. Sin becomes the biggest wall between us and God. Sin becomes the biggest wall. So whatever you pray, that's the way analogy is explained in the Bible. Whatever you're praying, the prayer might not reach to God because something is blocking. What is that blocking? It could be sin. Whatever it is, the sin. When you think about sin, we think the worst thing that we can imagine. No, sin can be a little lie. Sin can be a little cheat. Sin can be, you know, a word that you hurt others. Sin can be you misunderstood somebody. Sin can be when you are silent when you should be talking something. Sin can be thus that you don't support the righteous people and you be silent. That can also be sin. Sin can be something even if you don't pray. Bible is called sin sometimes, no. Sin is the hindrance of faith. If you think you have faith, we should not have any kinds of sin or disobedience. We need to have self-examination in our lives, my friends. Self-examination. 1 Corinthians 11:31, it says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Go and sit in your room and think about yourself and say, where am I going wrong? What is actually the way I think is hurting? Where is my path leading me? Today's Christianity is teaching, just like according to the world, believe yourself and do what you want. As long as you're happy, we're all happy. That's the scenario these days. My friends, if people want to be happy, they can do anything. But if you want eternal life, there are some restrictions. What to do, what not to do. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are promised about with no great a cloud of witness, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us. Run the race. Hebrews 12 verses 1. Run the race with patience. Put the sin aside. We need to go forward looking unto that cross. Jesus died on that cross and says, you know, I have delivered you. Now I died and rose again. Now you have the freedom to be sinless. You have the freedom to be called a daughter of God, a son of God, you know, a follower of Jesus Christ. Some people live in doubts. Be sure, no doubt or unbelief is permitted in your life. If you meet lots of Christians, they talk something, but if you go dig deeper, they say, actually, I don't actually believe what I'm sharing. Because around the world, bringing feeding into our minds, you want to watch YouTube, this and that, they tell you so many doubts. Why? Somebody was debating the other day, you know, did Jesus stay 3 days in the tomb or not? That's the topic. Because he was saying, you know, Jesus died on the Friday, Saturday, and he rose again Sunday. It's only 1.5 days, not 3 days. For him, he's not Christian. He was trying to say, Jesus was not in the tomb for 3 days, which means Jesus was lying. And he was telling about the quotation Jesus made, you know, when somebody was asking for a sign, Jesus said, there's a sign about Jonah who stayed in the belly of fish. So why do you want another sign? So the Son of Man is going to be the same way. And Jesus was using all the analytical language, symbolic language. And this guy comes up and that means Jesus actually didn't die. He was making a statement. People come up with so many ideas, my friend. So many ideas. We forget the basics. We forget the reality, the history. We don't go into these discussions. What we do know, Jesus died and rose again. Hallelujah. Jesus died and rose again. Why did he die? He died for us. As simple as this. And they don't want this kind of arguments the devil will bring unto us. Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And we will go to the final point. Sincerely, desire the benefit. When you have this point, I'm away, walking away from the sin, I'm not doubting the promises that God has given to me. I am recognizing the source. Now we need to see where is the benefit. We need to desire. We need to wait. Lord, I am waiting and waiting and waiting. Give me that healing. Give me that the answer to my prayer. Lord, give me whatever I am asking. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When we pray, believe and believe and believe, ask and ask and ask, Lord, I am believing that this is going to be mine. We need to come, agree with God, believe God, and ask God, Lord, I'm waiting. Would you do it for me? Do it for me. The question today is, we have doubts because somebody else putting the doubts in our minds. No? If God tells you something that he will do, my friends. If God tells you, I will redeem you, I will heal you, I will get you out of this trouble, listen to him carefully. That's why, you know, every Sunday, Pastor Craig trying to encourage people to listen to God. You know, it is something that we need to practice every day. Sit in God's presence. We say to God, blah, 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 Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this. You know, amen, we go. That's what we do. Hallelujah, amen. And then what happens is God says, hey, you've been asking something. I came to tell you something. You're not there. You're gone already. You're driving. And God says, you don't even listen to me. You told me so many things. I'm here to answer your questions. Listening to God is so important, my friends. We have so many issues. Lord, give me that thing. Give me money. Give me a car. Give me a job. Lord, give me good peace of mind. All these things. When are you giving God? Lord, no, God says, well, wait. You've been asking. Let me also come. Waiting time in God's presence. Waiting time in the silence. Waiting time while you read the Bible. Waiting time while you lay down on your bed and think about God. Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you telling me? Where are you? So many times in our lives, you know, my wife and myself, we suddenly decide. Sandy says, today, I think I'm going to call. Can we call that particular person we want to meet them? Out of the blue, where did his name come from? And I call that particular person and say, can we meet you? And they say, yes. And we meet up. And they pour out their heart, their troubles they're going through. Some people aren't even trying to end their lives. Right time, God tells, go, you listen to God. Right time, you send a text. I send sometimes Bible verses. Eleanor sends some Bible verses. So many people you do. You know, we think, well, these people are sending Bible verses. That's fine, good. But for some people, they are life-giving texts. You know that? Every Sunday I hear testimonies. I was there on that particular day. I'm thinking, Lord, what shall I do? Where do I go? No, I don't have any answer. But this particular Bible passage, Pastor texted in the group, and then I read that one. I got the answer. That's it. I went to that particular place. You know what? The passages, Bible is life-giving verses. It doesn't matter how many thousands of times you've read it. You know, I sent a verse, ask and it shall be given to you. And the reader would understand something else. Where to ask? They're probably thinking, whether shall I ask or not? Ask or not. Now the verses come to them and say, this is the confirmation, I'm going to ask. Ask the Lord. Wherever God is showing you. Do not doubt. Sincerely, you must be expecting the benefits, expecting the blessings, expecting the answer from God. If you pray and you expect nothing, what is the point? Some people are throwing the stones when you go to a pond. Now, what we do, we take some stones and throw them into the pond. And the stone goes into the water, it makes ding, the noise. And then you throw beside it, ding, the noise. And then people say, where are you throwing stones? We're just throwing stones. You know? There is no aim. You don't have an aim at that particular point. But for some people, if they are throwing a stone, they're throwing to hit something. A fruit, a goal. We might be throwing stones from years and years without a goal. It ends somewhere, but not in the goal. Where are you throwing your stone? Where are you putting your mind? Set a goal for us. This is where my spiritual life is going to be. This is many books I want to read this year. This is how I want to read my Bible every day. A goal. Many people don't have a goal. You just read a Bible passage, well, that's finished. If you look back to the year, you think, how many passages you read in the Bible? Maybe 5, 6, 10. Can you tell me one verse reciting? If you can. I don't know. If you show me something, I can read it. You know, we need to have a goal. What is that I am doing? Aim for something, my friend. If you are in need, aim for that need and say, I am going to find out what God is doing in this particular matter. Whether it is sickness, whether it is this and that, whether it is job, family life, whatever it is, did you reach your goal or not? Reach your goals with God, because Bible says, with God, everything is possible. Nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and say, Lord, help me, Lord, to recognize the roots, the root cause of the issues. What is the trouble that we're going through? Lord, help me to find the root, and then I will understand. I understand devil is this person who brings up troubles and trials. He steals. He's like a thief. Lord, help me to understand that I will stand against the devil. I will stand my ground and I will say, I resist the devil, the evil thoughts, Evil things that is coming against me. You have no place in my heart. The discouragement, no place in my heart. I am going to overcome with the power of God. Be sure, Lord, I have this promise. I want to walk in that promise, Lord. Thank you for the promise, Lord. Lord, I want to get out of this sin that is hindering me. I want to believe. I don't want to have any unbelief. I'm expecting, Lord, please come. If you want to ponder for a minute while worship him, sing this song.
Foundation of faith should not be shaped by what happens. And he didn't know, I didn't know.